Calling all podcast fans, Spotify makes it easier than ever to discover new shows to love. Get personalized episode recommendations and easily preview them before you dive right in. Find exclusive video episodes from your favorite hosts and guests. And with some, you can even connect with them through polls and Q&A directly within their episodes. It's everything you want in one app. So what are you waiting for? Try the podcast experience today on Spotify.
Hey, everybody. On today's show, we're tackling a deceptively simple question about man's best friend.
I'm curious on why dogs bark.
It came from ELT listener Jacob, who works at a dog grooming business.
It's Lord of the Rings themed, so it's called the Prancing Poodle.
Hello, friend, and welcome to the Prancing Poodle. All breed.
Prancing Poodle is a great name.
Yeah, they come in as peasants, they leave as warriors.
It works even without the reference.
I know.
When did this question come to you? Were you sitting bathing a dog thinking?
Yes. So I was actually drying a dog at the moment, this big golden retriever who was like barking like crazy. And then like that kind of made all the other dogs bark in the back room. And I'm like, what? Why do dogs bark?
Jacob, we thought this was going to be a straightforward answer.
Me too. I thought it was going to be plain and simple.
Yeah, I think most dog owners would feel that way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Every dog owner would tell you directly know why dog's barking and what is it good for.
But you probably don't. At least that's what Peter Pongratz would say. He is a dog bark researcher.
I didn't know that was such a thing.
They're out there. We talk to them. And what they'll tell you in so many technical words is that why dogs bark is not a simple question.
Ethology level.
So we did the acoustic analysis because...
And we actually call this behavior mobbing.
We have the antecedent signal when one dog barks.
You could give 100 TED Talks on why dogs bark.
Maybe 101.
Cruella de Vil. A 101 Dalmatians shout out. How often do you get to do that?
I know. I got dad jokes all day.
So, Jacob, we've spent weeks trying to wrap our minds around the answer. In dog years, it's been an eternity. And I'm excited to share with you the Clifford's Notes, starting with a little evolutionary barkology. It turns out other animals bark.
Wolves bark, usually in a single situation, which is when they are at a den site. So they're protecting their pups and a potential predator approaches. Often this is a hapless experimenter who witnesses this.
That's dog bark researcher Catherine Lord. She's also studied wolves. And this feels like the evolutionary roots of the mailman bark.
The wolves will start running towards the person and away from them and barking, which you may have seen dogs do. If you approach a gate or something like that, they'll run towards and away from you and start barking.
I didn't even know wolves bark, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and it's not just wolves.
Some ungulates can bark.
Yes, many deer bark. There are primates who bark. There are a whole lot of birds who bark, and they all bark in the same situation where they're at their nest or den site and a potential predator approaches.
The stranger at the door bark is widespread in the animal kingdom, but the average dog bark repertoire goes way beyond that.
Dogs bark basically in every possible inner state.
They bark when they're riled up, when they're lonely, when they're hungry. And that's what makes this question so hard to answer. Unlike other animals, dogs bark all the time. Why?
Dogs bark because the outcome of barking has value for them.
This is behavioral scientist Susan Friedman. And basically, barks get results. This is the big picture idea behind all communication. It is a signal sent to a receiver with the aim of getting an outcome.
I mean, even us as humans, when we communicate, it's the same thing.
Exactly. And like with people, some dogs express themselves more than others.
Oh, yes. It's usually the tinier dogs. They always got something to say.
Yeah, there are differences between breeds.
If you put 100 mini poodles in a room and 100 shih tzus in another room, the average barking would be greater for the poodles than for the shih tzus.
And then there's barkle variation dog to dog. So to sum up, evolution, breed, your dog's personality, training, all are kibbles and bits in the bag of reasons for why dogs bark. But that doesn't tell you much about what your dog is saying to you, which I think is what people want to know. So we wanted to give you and listeners the tools to understand your dog better.
Oh, okay.
We're developing Dog Duolingo.
Is this going to be on a Kickstarter project? Because I'm so down.
It's going to be on this podcast right now.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, if you want to decode your dog's barks, first thing to notice.
Listen to the pulse of the bark, because that is probably for the first giveaway sign.
Listen for the timing, the space between barks.
If the bark is coming in this very furious, fast bouts,
then your dog is excited or maybe angry and aggressive. But
if it's a long spacing, they are more reserved and relaxed.
Step two, after you've mastered tempo comprehension, the next Dog Duolingo section requires you to know some terms, like the difference between tone and noise in a bark.
So a tonal component would be like what you'd hear if you hit a tuning fork. That's a perfect tone.
And noise would be a really messy acoustic signal, like what happens when you turn on the radio.
When you're trying to find that right radio station and just like...
Exactly. Barks are a combination of tone and noise. And here's what you should be listening for in your dog's bark: the pitch and the balance of tone to noise.
So a high pitch sound with a tonal component is more friendly.
That's like the happy, friendly bark.
Yeah. We have a Papillon who sounds like that every time he wants a treat.
Or if you have a dog who's scared of someone coming to the door, you'll expect a really deep, noisy, low-pitched bark. So that's when you get the like sort of sound, you know?
Definitely more on the growly side.
Jacob, you're like a human dog bark decoder already. With all that time at the Prancing Poodle, you're an expert.
Yeah. I hear them too often to know what they're wanting.
To not know.
I haven't had enough coffee, obviously.
I get it. Take a sip if you need, because we have one more chapter of Dog Duolingo to cover today.
Okay, back in business.
Jacob, if you want to take your canine code breaking to the next level, you may be able to learn your dog's particular bark vocabulary. Dog researcher Peter did a study looking at one breed.
It's a Hungarian dog called Moody.
A Moody? Like emotional Moody, or like a dog breed?
A dog breed, M-U-D-I.
It's a herding dog. And we recruited lots of dog owners with this breed who allowed us to collect dog barks.
And they recorded the barks in a few specific situations. So they recorded the tied to a tree alone bark, the stranger at the fence bark, the let's go for a walk bark, the I'm about to get into a fight bark, the let's play bark.
And we assembled a little playlist.
Playlist?
A playlist only a dog lover could love.
I'm like, where's the Spotify playlist? I'm waiting.
And then they recruited listeners and asked them how they'd classify the dog's emotional state based on the bark alone.
The easiest context to guess was the stranger at the fence, the fight, the left alone dog, and the playful dog.
People would hear the dog tied up alone bark and say, that dog seems scared or desperate. Or they'd hear the let's play bark and they'd say, that dog sounds happy.
So the humans can understand all the different types of barks from having a personal dog of their own.
Well, actually, that's one of the most surprising parts of the study. It didn't matter who listened.
There was no difference. Those people who never owned a dog were just as accurate as those people who basically knew very well these dogs.
Really? Wow. Props to them.
Or props to dogs. I mean, what it suggests is that dogs evolved to bark in a way that humans understand.
That makes sense, that they kind of adjusted to interacting with humans.
Yeah, that is Peter's theory. He also did an acoustical analysis of the barks, and this was really interesting. He found that the stranger at the gate bark from one dog was similar to the stranger at the gate bark for another dog. Within this breed, it seemed like there was a bark vocabulary, like certain barks for certain situations. Now, whether that holds up across breeds isn't clear, but the researchers said you can listen for a pattern in your dog's barks. You might be able to learn your dog's mailman bark or her squeaky toy bark.
Okay, take home. I'm going to understand my dog more because I'm going to be actually listening to him and not just saying, hey, stop it. Get over here. I'll give you pets.
I don't know if that's your dog's going to prefer you doing this deep listening or actually would just prefer you to pet it.
Probably mainly pets.
After the break, are there real life Lassies out there? That's coming up. Hey, so we asked our dog research pack about the viability of this scenario. The Timmy in the well moment. Can dogs communicate complex thoughts with their barks? And their answers ranged from a hard no to dog behaviorist Susan's answer.
I'm always open to the possibility that there may be a Lassie. I just need to see the data.
So we decided to do our own investigation. We asked you to tell us about your pets, and you brought us stories of four-legged friends exceeding expectations in one way or another. I would call them unconventional Lassie stories.
Hello.
Alan, tell me about your pet.
So we have two dogs. They are both litter mates, and they're both pit bulls. So we call one Thelma and the other Luis, as the pairing suggests.
Adorable.
Mm-hmm.
So what's your Thelma and Luis story?
So I want to set the scene a little bit. This was a few years ago. My mom and my stepdad, Jamie, they had just finished their morning cup of coffee, and Jamie had gone back into the bedroom to start getting ready for work. He hopped in the shower. And in the meantime, my mom wanted to get a little exercise, and so she stepped onto the treadmill.
So far, a normal day.
Yeah, it's an ill-fated exercise journey, though. All of a sudden, she gets this overwhelming sensation, boy, I need to eat something. And then, bam, just she blacks out. And she collapses onto the treadmill, and in such a way that her body is still laying on the treadmill as it's going. Yeah. So she's just laying there. And Jamie is busy in the shower. He can't really hear anything. And so Luis, our dog, just blows into the bathroom where Jamie's taking a shower and repeatedly runs in and out and in and out of the bathroom.
Was she barking?
The entire time, and not the usual, hey, someone's at the door, or hey, I see a squirrel kind of bark. It's fundamentally different.
So what does Jamie do?
So he knew something was up, something was wrong. And so he gets out almost immediately, and he finds my mom just collapsed. And by this point, she's just absolutely delirious and speaking gibberish. And so he gets her off the treadmill and is able to call 911.
Was your mom okay?
Yeah, so she's all fine now.
Thank God for Louise.
Yeah, well, I'm just blown away by how quick to action she was. These dogs are not... Their favorite hobby is to accidentally lock themselves in a room by bumping a door closed. We don't really expect this kind of heroic behavior from these guys.
Tell Louise good work.
I'll give her a bone for you.
Please do.
Hello.
Hey, Oren.
Hi.
What's your dog's name?
Yitzi.
So you have a Yitzi story for us.
Yeah, so My mom got him a raincoat because she was concerned about him getting wet and sick or something.
What did it look like?
I don't remember the exact details of it, but it was this like yellowish raincoat, like a toddler would wear, but dog oriented.
Maybe like a second set of sleeves?
Yeah, second set for his little tiny legs. He hated it. He is pretty specific about the type of things that he hates.
My kind of dog.
So he hated the raincoat and he completely destroyed it, ripping it up. But the funny thing is my mom had taken a picture of him.
Like before he tore up the raincoat?
Yeah. So it's just like him like kind of sitting there with his like raincoat on and like the hood up like before he's about to go out. And she kept this picture in her purse. And he one day just kind of went upstairs, found her purse, found the picture, and then took the picture and then ripped it up.
He not only destroyed the raincoat, he also ripped up the picture of himself in the raincoat.
Yeah, it's like really small pieces and like scattered it around like the room.
How long do you think he was waiting to rip up that picture?
Well, I think it might be a crime of opportunity, but really who knows with him. But our theory is that he was very self-conscious about his picture in it and he didn't like how it captured this kind of fake social media persona of him being happy in the raincoat when he really despised it. It had to go.
I wish I could do that with every single picture of me.
Yeah. I mean, we all have pretty embarrassing pictures. When I was younger, I had terrible hair. I had this like weird long thing going on the sides of my hair. So I would love it if we could destroy all those pictures. But, you know, I don't have the resources available and the patience, I guess, of my dog.
Well, I hope he feels okay about his depiction in this podcast.
Oh, yeah, no. Well, you know, luckily he seems the type that doesn't care for podcasts. But, yeah, he's probably gonna have to give me a talking to if he hears about this.
Hello?
Hey, Katie. So your Lassie story is more of a Garfield story.
Yeah, I mean, literally, because my cat is the same color as Garfield.
What kind of cat is it?
So she's a tabby cat. Her name is Miley Cyrus. In my defense, we named her Miley Cyrus in 2008.
Thank you for that clarification.
So my Garfield story.
Lay it on me.
I think this was probably the summer of 2010. I had been living in an apartment here in the LA area for a few months, like an old 1930s Spanish bungalow kind of building. And anyone could walk into the building, and I was on the ground floor. And Miley, she's the friendliest cat. She loves everyone. And she gets really excited whenever people walk by the house and loves to paw at the windows, like scratch her claws on the glass, which was a little annoying, but very endearing.
Okay, that's her thing. She paws at the glass at strangers, right?
And so it was a studio apartment, so one room. And I was asleep in the middle of the night this summer, and all of a sudden I hear like a really aggressive clawing on the glass.
Oh, like she woke you up.
Yeah. So I turned on my light and ran to the door, and I heard that there was someone jiggling my doorknob. But I saw the person as they were turning to run away. And it was some dude in like a black hoodie.
It sounds like your story is that Miley Cyrus saved your life.
I think I would agree with that.
If you have a question we can help you with, give us a ring, 833-RING-ELT. And one more thing before we go, we're working on a dinosaur episode. If you have a burning dino question, head over to our Twitter or Facebook page and tell us about it. We will field as many as we can.
Every Little Thing is produced by Phoebe Flanagan, Aaron Reese, Bradley Campbell, Annette Heist, and Flora Lichtman, with help from Nicole Pasulka and Doug Barron. Our consulting editors are Ian Chillog and Caitlin Kenny. Dara Hirsch scored and mixed this episode. Goodbye.